D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mace, and Adam Fingan here with you. That was
That was classic.
That was the ad read of all ad reads.
Yeah.
Derek Mason.
That was wonderful.
We love Zen Sports over here.
Zen Sports.
Once you find the game.
Byron on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, awesome recovery.
Yes,
you handled that very well.
Thank you. I didn't panic.
No. We did it all together. Yes. We did it all together.
That's teamwork right there.
That's why I had to stop. I had to stop myself from laughing, which I was doing at first. Then I was able to help you.
I heard the little snickering to my left. I'm like, I got to stay focused. I got to find it. Adam's laughing at me, but I got to find it.
Look, we've all been.
I deserved that.
You did. You did a great job. You recovered nicely. It was all about the dismount, right?
That's why he's
exactly.
A pro. All
there we go.
All around. All about the dismount. So we heard from Brian Callahan, and I thought, all things considered, he handled himself well. I thought he answered the questions the right way by keeping it solely focused on the short term. But there was something that he said early on, because the first thing he said was he was going to take time over the next couple of days to make the decision as to who is going to start at quarterback for the Titans this week. Maybe we didn't expect a declarative statement, but he said he was going to take the next couple of days. But in answering further questions, you could sort of read between the lines as to which way he was going. And there was an answer he gave about, he said, the guys on the football team want to feel like we're all being held to the same standard. Mm-hmm. You try to do your best for all players involved, and the players in the locker room want the best chance to win football games. And to me, that felt like an indirect endorsement, perhaps, of Mason Rudolph. Although he did not say who was going to start at quarterback, the answers to his questions, Derek, seemed to suggest that if he's leaning one way or the other, he's leaning Mason Rudolph.
This is an important week for Brian Callahan. And not because of wins or losses or really trying to evaluate your team, because I think pretty much they know what type of team they have and they know where they need to upgrade at. The most important thing for him right now is to not lose his locker room. We discussed this about 10 weeks ago. And I remember saying the thing that Brian Callahan can't do is lose his locker room. And this is when Will Levis was playing really bad. And my thing was, put Mason Rudolph in. It's not about Mason Rudolph's going to get in there and just turn this team from the bottom of the league to now one of the best teams in the National Football League. No, that's not the ideal here. The ideal is to not lose your locker room, because if you set standards and everybody else has to reach those standards, and your quarterback, who shall be held to the utmost standards, you're allowing him to sort of walk through it without any repercussions. That can cause you to lose a locker room. I said that 10 weeks ago, and it's even more true today. Even though in my mind it's like, listen, is Mason Rudolph going to win you football games? More than likely not, no. Is he going to turn his team around and all of a sudden you think you got an offense that can – head into next season feeling good about themselves? No. The most important part of this right now, whichever decision you choose to make, is the locker room. Your decision should be based upon your locker room at this point of the season. If I throw Will Levis out there, and you've already said, Callahan already said, like, listen, guys are being held to a standard. And he basically was saying, if I don't really evaluate this in the next couple of days and possibly don't bench him, what does that say to everybody else? And everybody else going to turn around and is like, hell, you benched the left, the right tackle 8 times. You benched that guy over there. You took the returner out because he fumbled. But the quarterback has basically lost us 6 games by himself. And you still allow him to go out there, trot out there, and be our quarterback? That will lose you a locker room in 5 minutes.
The minute
you say he's your quarterback, guys are going to be looking around like, you got to be kidding me, man. You, is anybody being held to a standard here?
I thought he did a good job of steering the questions away from the big picture stuff, the future, and did what a coach should do, and that's say, we've got a game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I've got to try to coach this game. The big picture stuff is more for the GM, and that's a whole other subject, because the GM does not create the narrative, sell the narrative that he should be doing, in my opinion.
But don't you think that now is don't lose your locker room?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you're dead on right. I agree with everything you said. The other point that jumped out to me regarding the quarterback is, this again goes to your theory, Adam, which I agree with. Reading between the lines, I think he's already decided that he's going to move forward with Mason Rudolph this week because, A, he deserves to play. He's outplayed Will Levis. And, B, he gives him the chance, best chance to win the game. But, C, I think he has now seen enough. What he said at one point was, in the follow-up questions, was, we've poured all kinds of time and resources into Will Levis. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not – he says, I have been more than patient is what I was hearing from him. He wasn't using those words. But I think he's tired of going out of his way to try to squeeze blood from the turnip or whatever, right? I mean, he's trying. He's given him every opportunity to succeed, and it's just not happening. So at some point, you've got to cut bait to save the locker room. I think for a while the locker room will go with you. Like, okay, mm-hmm. He's young. Maybe he'll get it. But at this point, I think everybody sort of said, there is a standard, and he's just so far below the standard, we just can't keep running him out there, at least not today. And he may come back. They may have somebody get hurt. He gets back in there. That's fine. But to just move mountains and say he's the guy no matter what, I think those days have to be over.
So a couple of texts on our text line. We asked the question earlier, and if you want to get in on this, you can at 615-737-1025. What would you do? Who would you start at quarterback over the final few games of this season? One texter says, here's the deal. Play Levis. Make it conclusive one way or the other. Leave no doubt on the decision. The season is over, so it allows you to build a better picture going into the offseason. Winning this year is futile if you're not building data points for next year. Ben says it makes zero difference at this point if he can improve with that being Levis and be a decent quarterback. He will definitely not be elite. That should be enough to move on. At least starting Rudolph will get him some more reps in case he is our bridge starter or backup next season. Now, Willie, you were mentioning this, I believe, during the break. Looking at other quarterbacks who have struggled, who have since sort of built themselves back up. You mentioned Sam Darnold. We talked about Sam Darnold last week. At his lowest point with the Jets, as you looked up, even Sam Darnold was not as bad as Will Levis has been this season.
Yeah, and it was pretty close. Like, the Jets were just as bad a team. He was 2-10 as a starter in his last year with the Jets, which was his third year in the league. And like has happened, we use Mac Jones's numbers as a reference point the week of the Jaguars game last week, where it sort of unravels, right? A guy starts, and you're like, okay, not awful. We can work with this. And then there's regression. For example, the Jets with Darnold as the starter in 2019, his second year, he was at least 7-6 as a starter. He had 19 touchdown passes, passer rating of 84.3, QBR 45.6. He slipped the next year that 2-10 where it was like, we got to move on. 32.9 QB rating, which is still high. That's bad, but it's still higher than what Levis is this year. And a passer rating of 72.7, which is unfortunately not good, but still higher than Levis. And I guess the point would be he's now taken a circuitous route, right? He had to go be a backup somewhere, started a few games for Carolina. He went to San Fran and backed up, got this chance in Minnesota 4 years later, and he's a really good story. A rare story, but a good story. And maybe that's the thing with Levis. If he does bounce back someday, fine. Or if he goes somewhere else and does well, that's fine too. But he can't be the guy anymore with those numbers. right? Not after that many starts.
Eric is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was at the game yesterday. I tell you what, I never thought I would see a game like I saw yesterday in my life. Because it's like somebody says, if you were to tell me that Cincinnati was going to have something like, I guess it was 14 penalties, 113 yards, four turnovers, you'd like a chance of winning the game. But, of course, we had 12 penalties for 110 yards. And we also had six turnovers. And the four turnovers that Levis had, three of them were for touchdowns and one for field goal. So it was 24 points. And I had left the stadium. I heard the cannons go off when we scored on the last play of the game. It's just, I just don't want to make up it. I think they said the last time we had, like, where both teams, 26 accepted penalties for 200 yards. The last time they had was something around about 2,000. 10 turnovers. It's just really ridiculous, guys. I'm to the point, and I've tried to defend Will Levis, but after yesterday, I'm kind of out on him too. I mean, I think the last interception he threw was like in the triple coverage. I mean, it's just so many wild plays. The Cincinnati defender who had a touchdown after Pollard fumbled, or supposed touchdown, but he fumbles the ball out of the end zone. It's just, you never think you would see anything like that. It's just like, it's like we were gift-wrapping the game to them, and it's just, I'm to the point where I know they're going to make the decision that they're going to make. You know, if you start Will Levis, that's fine. But I think you got to put in Mason Rudolph. But I wouldn't have a problem if you had Levis the rest of the season.
You know what's weird about the game yesterday, too, Eric? It was a bizarre game.
Yeah.
And Eric, thanks for calling. But how I was asking myself this a lot. The Bengals have to be really, really down and disappointed on their season. They have an unreal quarterback. Joe Burrow is incredible. And they have Ja'Marr Chase. They have Hendrickson. They have some of those game-changing guys at key positions that teams drool over. The Titans don't have anything close to that. How are the Bengals 6-8? I know they play in a tough division, but their roster construction and things like that, they failed somewhere. You should not be in this position that they're in with a quarterback like Burrow and some of their star players. You agree?
Yeah,
like,
you shouldn't be. I mean, their defense is horrid. They've had injuries up and down, but they are, from a defensive standpoint, they haven't been able to stop anyone. And, you know, they've just had turnovers and inopportune times during games. Even looking at this game, if the Titans doesn't – even at the point that they bench Will Levis – they still had an opportunity to potentially win that game because they were moving the ball to make it, what, a 10-point game at that point. And then, obviously, you get the strip fumble and the score, which wasn't a score, and now it puts you back. But this team was in a position to make it a much closer game. Even after doing all that stuff with Will Levis, they still had an opportunity to make it a closer game or even potentially make it a game before the second to the last turnover that the Titans made. Yeah. So you look at
but that should never happen.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
How can the Bengals be this mediocre?
It's like, what's wrong with
them? They got to be looking around going, we're behind the Colts, we're behind the the Broncos with a rookie quarterback. How are we not in this race? I don't that is the team that's got to be the most disappointing. Based on the quarterback that they have, you drool to have a quarterback like Joe Burrow. You should not be in this position if you're the Bengals.
No, you shouldn't. And I was just looking at some numbers here.
And by the way, in terms of scoring against, they gave up this season. They've given up 25 to the Chiefs, 33 to the Commanders. This is the Bengals, by the way. 24 to the Panthers in the win, 41 to the Ravens. Sorry, 26 to the Chiefs, 38 to the Commanders, 41 to the Ravens. They gave up 37 to the Eagles. They gave up 35 to the Ravens. Did they play? Yeah, they played the Ravens twice because they're in the same division. They gave up 34 to the Chargers, 44 to the Steelers. You know, they've
that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. I just read that.
No. It is a lot of points. I mean, I was just looking at, because we look at Will Levis and, you know, whether the Titans bench him or not, that's basically a decision they're going to have to make very soon here. But I look at Will Levis and I look up look at his numbers. Obviously, they are not glowing whatsoever. But I look at him and I can only think of Zach Wilson. That's just basically who he is. The numbers bear it. Both of these quarterbacks, one was just drafted in the first round, the other wasn't in the second round. But these numbers are sort of the same, man. And if we looked at Zach Wilson from afar and said, that's not the guy. I mean, it's evident he's not the guy. He's not seeing the field well. He's throwing balls where he shouldn't throw it. If we saw that in Zach Wilson, if you turn on the tape and you watch Will Levis, it's some of the same play.
Pretty similar
numbers,
too.
Which tells me.
High sack rate, exactly, low QBR.
Which tells me he's not the
low
guy.
Low passer rating.
He is not the guy. Move on from him. Get you a starter, someone. Try to get you a franchise quarterback. But in the meantime, you got to get you someone that can at least hold the water while you find your next guy. Because Will Levis isn't that guy. And I'm not talking about this season. This season is over with for them. I'm talking about next season. If whether you draft a guy or not, you got to bring in someone that can play some good football, because what you've seen this season from Mason Rudolph and especially from Will Levis, it's not winning football. I know Mason looks better, but it's still not winning football.
Clayton is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Clayton, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, what's up, DVD?
How are you?
What's going on? What's going
better on? Than I should be, man. Better than I should be. Man, I just feel like that if they would have put somebody in there in training camp that Will Levis would have had to compete with to earn the job, they would have knew in the beginning of the season he didn't have it. But they just handed him the job, and now we've stumbled and bumbled all through the season just to realize, oh, he's not the guy, and has, you know, progressively gotten worse. So, I mean, even if he's going to be here in 2025, they should have to win the position. I mean, it's not like there's a clear-cut guy that we're going to go get. It's like, well, this is going to be our guy until, you know, the next guy gets here. Whoever it is should have to win the starting job.
Thank you for calling, Clayton. Tim is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is a free agent QB going to want to come here with a craptacular offensive line that we have? Are receivers and running backs going to want to come here when you don't have a legitimate QB? Or so are we locked in on fixing the line first, or are we locked in on drafting the QB first? Because a QB who gets drafted doesn't have a choice about, hey, I don't want to play behind their crappy line. What's your thoughts on that, guys?
Tim, thank you for calling. I think that's a really interesting question, and we should answer that after we come back from break. 615-737-1025. Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, and you can get autographs and pictures too. That's this Wednesday night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders will take on California Baptist in the WAC/Conference USA Challenge at the Murphy Center. Tip-off is at 6:30. Pre-game starts at 6. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Tim called in right before the break, Derek, and was asking us about the chicken or the egg situation with the Titans and their roster makeup, about how can the Titans go about fixing this team. Should quarterback be number one on the to-do list? Or are there more pressing things to do around the quarterback to take care of first before you go get that quarterback to make sure that quarterback is in the best position to succeed?
Whenever the quarterback is in the equation, the quarterback is the most pressing issue. When you don't have your guy, he is the most precious issue. When you don't have a guy that you believe can be the leader of your franchise underneath center, then that's the pressing need. So I understand where the Titans are at as far as their roster. They need some upgrades to the offensive line. I think J.C. Latham is a good player, and I think he's only going to get better. The notion that, oh, he hasn't, you know, he's been bad or terrible, that's just not the case. And for those that say he played bad yesterday, he didn't. Go back and just watch the film, and the film will tell you he didn't play a bad game. Did he have a few penalties? Yes, he had a few penalties. But it wasn't the way that some were trying to make it out to be, like he just played this horrible game. No, he didn't. Neither did the whole offensive line as a whole. They didn't play a great game, but they've been a lot worse. And I know the bar is set low. But if you don't have that guy under center, that's always the pressing issue, because if you don't have him, it makes it extremely, extremely hard to win in this league. Ask every team in the NFL that don't have that guy. It's hard to win.
I would say that it depends on what is out there. How do you best improve the roster? Well, what's at the grocery store, right? Mm-hmm. You have different ways. You have a couple different ways. Free agency, who's available in the free agent market? Who's available in the draft? And I think that has to weigh on your decision. I think you can decide philosophically what you think, and yeah, I agree with you. Philosophically, the quarterback's everything.
And that's what that's the standard.
But I can't just go.
That's where I come from.
I can't just say, hey, here's my philosophy. We're going to pick a quarterback.
Exactly.
But what if the quarterback's just, you don't like them with the scouts? It's like you have to trust your scouts. Mm-hmm. You have to evaluate. You have to believe that that's the best way to go, as opposed to a reclamation project like a Darnold or a Baker Mayfield or whoever is out there. You have to evaluate those guys. As we've talked about, we've been looking at these guys. Like Mac Jones had another kind of game yesterday.
It's almost like a
Daniel Jones.
Whoever comes
these
here,
these are the guys that are going to be out
audition.
There.
Whoever comes here, it's an audition.
I think realistically at this point, and this is why I think I'd love to hear from Rand Carthon. I wish we were hearing from him throughout the season. But I think at this point, is it realistic that you can fix all this in 1 year? The caller is right? You have a couple of big problems. Your roster is not very good, and you don't have the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's hard to fix it all in one season. So you have to take it one bite at a time, right, and do the best you can with the resources you have, with the available stuff that's out there.
See, the thing is, if Will Levis had played the whole season last year, I think they would have went into last year thinking different. They would have probably thought, he's not the guy. Let's go get us someone else. Right where we're getting a new head coach and everything, let's allow him to sort of evaluate the quarterbacks that are coming out, and let's see if we can move up and get one of these quarterbacks. But we didn't know about Will Levis last year because why? He was hurt. He didn't play the first half of the season. Then he comes in and he plays a few games. He looks okay, but then he gets hurt. So then you go into the offseason and say, Will, we got to give him another shot. But make no mistake, you may not get your quarterback, but the quarterback is always the position, if you don't have him, is always the position of how do we get better underneath center. But if there's no guy, there's nobody out there, then it's like, okay, what's the next alternative? Do we upgrade the offensive line? Do we go get more playmakers on the outside to help the quarterback out? Or do we do that and then go get a veteran quarterback that can be a bridge guy until the next following season, if indeed, you know, we're that bad where we can pick our quarterback?
So, Willie, you wanted to look at the three interceptions that Will Levis threw yesterday against the Bengals, because you feel that each interception displays a weakness in Will Levis's game. And let's start with the first one, which I think is the most complicated. Let's set the scene. It's 3rd and 7, second quarter. Time winding down to the 2-minute warning. Ball is on the Titans' 44-yard line. He throws a pass that's intended for Tyler Boyd. It's intercepted. Now, from my novice perspective, I feel like that interception was more of a product of either the play design or a breakdown in the route running than Will Levis's decision-making. What do you guys think about that?
I agree with your assessment, and the one thing that I think is also important to note is he had Calvin Ridley trying to clear out the safety running up the left sideline too. So you had three layers, and he clearly is trying to throw to the sticks to Boyd. I didn't think Boyd had a lot of separation. I don't think that pass was going to be complete. But he clearly didn't see that the defender that was covering Nick Westbrook-Ikhine came off his coverage and easily intercepted the pass. Now, what you just brought up, I wanted to hit D-Mace with because it does seem like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Tyler Boyd were very close together. And so what's the play design there? I saw Will Levis come off the field. He looked at the iPad, and he kind of gave a very demonstrative, which I don't think is the right thing to do in that place and time, kind of a, oh, man, what happened there? You know, he was frustrated with something there. So what did you see?
Basically, it was a flood to the left side. You know, you got a down-the-field route with Calvin Ridley to clear out that safety. Then you have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who's on the outside. It seems like he is supposed to run the out, but then whip it back in. And then you have Tyler Boyd running the out route, which usually is 10 to 12 or 12 to 15 yard out. Keep it high and let the quarterback bring you down. What happened was, and Will Levis explained this. And it's good that he explained it, but it's bad in a sense because what you're saying is it was their fault and not mine. I understand the way he explained it, but it made it seem like it was their fault, not mine. And I say that because I've ran this route, this concept, plenty of times. The outside guy is sort of a flood. You're trying to read the high-low. If it's man-to-man, it's great because now I can read it good because now that whip route, he's going to take away the underneath guy. Calvin Ridley is going to clear out that safety and who's ever on because he's the furthest inside guy, Tyler Boyd. Whoever's on Tyler Boyd, hopefully he can get an outside release, get that guy on the inside, his right shoulder, and then take the ball high to the corner route and let the quarterback bring you down. So now I have good distribution with everybody, and I can see everything clearly. What happens is, and Will Levis said it, Tyler Boyd get jammed somewhat. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine doesn't finish the route out. He has to whip out, run it out. If he gets it, great. If he gets it as soon as you run out, great. But then if you don't, you whip back in to give the quarterback a clear picture of what's out there. They were playing man-to-man. The problem is the defensive back slipped. The defensive back, when Nick Westbrook-Ikhine ran out, the defensive back sort of stumbled, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine didn't come back in. Well, he just left it right there. He's sitting right there, and then Tyler Boyd doesn't run the depth. Will Levis predetermines everything already without looking at the coverage. The end of the coverage. He just saw man-to-man across the board. So he figured they were going to be there. He predetermined where he was going to throw the football. And when he did that, the defensive back was right in the middle of both of them. Why? Because nobody got distribution in the route concept. Nobody. And the most important thing on route concepts, especially when it's a flood, you have to have the distribution because there are so many people in that area. You got to give the quarterback a clear visual of what he's seeing. He didn't have a clear visual. He was predetermined to throw it over there anyway. And then those guys, all those guys other than Calvin Ridley, didn't get the distribution they needed on that route concept. So Will should have never thrown that ball, but those receivers didn't help him at all either.
So it sounds like everybody made a critical
everybody.
Error.
Everybody. It was with the exception of Calvin Ridley.
Okay.
Because he was a clear. He was gone.
Right. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhine made an error.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Boyd made an error.
Mm-hmm.
Will Levis made an error. It was a comedy of errors. We may not have been laughing, but it was a comedy of errors, and it led to the interception.
And that's why Callahan got on there and said, listen, some was Will, some was other guys. It's a combination of every. And when you're not a good team, everybody can't make mistakes. You're not good enough to overcome three guys in a progression making a mistake. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Tyler Boyd, and then the quarterback. The quarterback basically was the cherry on top.
So what does a, for lack of a better term, what does a better quarterback do in that situation? When he sees that play developing, he sees Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Tyler Boyd on that section of the field. What does a quote-unquote better quarterback do?
Throw it high.
Okay.
You throw it high because if that's where you're going, a corner, you throw it high because it's too mucky over there. You're on a short side. Were they on the short side of the field? They may have been in the middle of the field.
The ball was at the Tennessee 44-yard line.
But what I'm saying is, was it in the middle of the field? Which hash?
Oh, I don't know.
I tend to think it was to the middle, to the left side of the left hash. So when it's that way, listen. So they were – actually, it was on the right side. It was on the right hash, and – they had a 3-by-1 to the left side with Calvin Ridley motioning, which told me once he motioned and that guy ran with him, it's man-to-man, people. Now you have to get good distribution in that route when it's man-to-man, because if you don't, everything just seems so muddied and mushed. He should have threw it high. It would have been a long foul ball at least, but it wouldn't have been an interception.
Mm-hmm. 615-737-1025. We'll break down the other two interceptions on the other side, but we'll also take your thoughts on Will Levis and the Titans at 615-737-1025. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night against the Rangers, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45. D-Maze, Vingit, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3. The game, is this Hannah Montana?
Of course.
Okay.
Hannah Montana.
Nobody's perfect. You got to live to learn it.
Okay. Well, I outed myself there by knowing that right off the top. But I'm a Disney kid, so whatever. Would anybody be shocked if that was on Will Levis's playlist?
No.
Nah,
he's pumping himself up in the gym. Blasting some Miley Cyrus / Hannah Montana. Nobody would be shocked.
He seems like a Hannah Montana type of guy.
Yeah, I could see that. But
there's nothing wrong with it, but oh well.
No, nothing wrong with it at all. I love Hannah Montana.
It certainly wasn't the best of both worlds yesterday.
Good one, Adam.
With Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans, they lose 37-27 to the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, so let's get back to the Will Levis interception film room. So he looked over the first one. The pass intended for Tyler Boyd, intercepted late in the second quarter. Not to be outdone, with 1:12 left in the second quarter, it's first and 10 at the Titans' 30-yard line. Will Levis is in shotgun. Intends a pass for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Sails it high. It's intercepted by Mike Hilton. Is this just... I mean, I think it's clear that it's just a poorly placed ball. But, Willie, you said something during the break that I thought was interesting.
Well, I thought from an emotional standpoint, I saw him get very emotional on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Very demonstrative. He's stomping around. I feel like that he let that affect the next play. That's the art of really all athletes when they make a mistake is putting it behind you. You know, we can go Ted Lasso. You know, we've talked Hannah Montana, so we'll talk Ted Lasso, the goldfish, right? You come back. The most important play is the next play. I feel like the next throw was a little frustrated. I'm going to just fire it in there. He's got the right guy.
Yeah.
He's got he had options. If you look, I think everybody on that play is open. It's a first down play, right? It's a mm-hmm.
Yes.
They're throwing on first down. They've got man-to-man. If he puts the ball on the money, it's an easy catch. It's a good play. But it's just high and hard. It's a high heater. It's not good mechanics. And it gets tipped. And he gets a little unlucky with where the ball bounces. But it's an interception-worthy throw.
It's just a bad throw. There's no way around that. It's high. It's a fast ball. And it's tight coverage. If you're going to make that throw, which a lot of quarterbacks make that throw, you got to throw it out in front of the receiver or in his body. So if it's not completed, it's not a tip ball in the air. Because once it's a tip ball, all bets are off. It was just a bad throw. It wasn't a bad read by him. It was just a bad throw by Will Levis.
And then the final interception, the worst of them all. Third quarter, first and 10, Titans 21-yard line, deep pass to Chikakonkwo, intercepted by Stone, return 39 yards for a touchdown. Just a brutal read by Levis on this play. I think this play probably is most representative of the Will Levis experience. This throw, this read, the result. I think that interception sort of boils it down to its essence.
And I thought actually when I looked at it, I saw something different than what Moose Johnston saw. Moose Johnston, the analyst on Fox, was saying just take the easy throw to Nick Vinette, who was out in the flat. But it was a first down play action. He's got all day. It was a play designed to take a shot. Am I right, D-Mace? Yeah. There's only three guys in the route, and one of them is the safety valve in Vinette. But correctly, Will Levis is looking at the one deep safety. He's got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine going on a fly pattern, and he's got Chigakonkwo coming across the middle as the second guy. There's a lot of guys back in the coverage, but he's got all day. And so, D-Mace, take us through. Like he's reading the high safety, mm-hmm. right? He should be. See, if the safety goes with Westbrook-Ikhine, mm-hmm. it's Chig that should be wide open in the hole there past that first wave of linebackers, right? That he should be open. And if the safety cheats up, which he did, mm-hmm. then you can take a shot to NWI and maybe you have another long one to him. He's already hooked up with him a few times on plays like that. So what did you see on that play where he went wrong?
I mean, once again, it's him predetermining where he wants to throw the football instead of clearly reading the field. He predetermined, I think it was what, third and?
No, it was first and 10.
Was it first and 10?
Yeah, it's a play-action pass on first down.
Because they had just gotten a
Tony Pollard, I think, had just made a really nice run.
Exactly, yes. So
got him out of a hole. They're still in the game.
To me, this was an opportunity to take a shot, which they tried to. They called the play to take a shot. But Will Levis just predetermined where he was going to throw the football. There was no reason that he should have thrown that ball to Chigakonkwo. Why? Because the safety had already told you by his alignment what he was going to be doing. You took your snap, you play action, and it was clear as day. It's a three-man route, really a two-man route.
Right,
but
with the
safety valve out there. There was no indication. Because the safety was flat-footed. And they tell you, when the safety's flat-footed, throw it over
the
top.
Take the shot.
It may be a long foul ball, or they may knock it down. But take the shot. When the safety is flat-footed, take the shot.
He was sitting on the route.
The safety sat there on the route, flat-footed, basically. And Will Levis, once again, stared it down and knew exactly where he wanted to throw the football. He predetermined he was going to try to throw that over route.
So he didn't read the defense.
He sort of
predetermined, hey, this is what I think is going to be there, and it wasn't there.
And that's what continues to get Will Levis in trouble. His decision before he even steps to the line of scrimmage where he's going to throw the football. I think this is the problem with Will Levis. He has so much faith and his offensive coordinator / head coach that the play he's calling, it's going to work because it worked in practice. And in actuality, every coach will tell you, just because we draw it up like this doesn't mean it's going to be that way. Read it out. Make sure you're watching your keys. Read it out. Your keys should have told you that safety's flat, damn near flat-footed. Don't throw that ball. And he threw it anyway. Why? Because he trusts in his strong arm. He's playing hero ball once again. And what have we talked about with Will Levis? Stop playing hero ball. And he got to a point where he stopped doing that, but it wasn't completely out of his system. So he ended up going back to it. Hero ball. Take what the defense gives you. Don't try to take what the defense isn't giving you. And that's what he basically did on both of those interceptions. Now, the first one, he had a little bit more help in all of it going wrong. The receiver's not getting good distribution. And then, did I mention to you, he threw the ball flat-footed, going backwards. That interception he threw on the sideline that was supposed to be to
Tyler
Boyd.
Not good mechanics on that. Yeah.
He was basically flat-footed, going backwards, and tried to use his arm strength to throw the ball. Didn't get it there. Again, this one, he tried to use his arm strength to drill the ball in there to Chigakonkwo, and it didn't work. That defensive back sat flat-footed, and I'm not going to even say he fooled you. He didn't fool you. He told you what he was doing. You fooled yourself trying to believe that you can get the ball into that tight space. You didn't do it. That defensive back read exactly what you were doing, and you threw it exactly where they probably said you were going to throw it. Don't worry about it. Will Levis will throw an interception on this defense. Don't worry about it. And damn sure he did it.
Let's hear from Will Levis. This was Will Levis yesterday talking about the Titans' decision to bench him and what it means for him moving forward.
There were a couple of months after the benching where it seemed like you might have turned around and glanced up into the crowd. Just kind of what was going through your mind in those moments as you were watching the game, just not in it?
I don't really remember what I was doing specifically or if I was doing that on whatever, but I was just trying to be there for my teammates and however I could help the offense to succeed and drive down the field, and they did a good job in the situation where we were forced to start passing the ball a lot more and driving the ball down, guys making plays, Tajay bringing this juice back, that was awesome, but I wasn't focused on anything other than the game.
That was Will Levis yesterday. He had some interesting comments. I think at one point he said there was nothing discouraging about the performance. It's just one of those days. And my first thought was the opening line from Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. And I just couldn't stop hearing that for the rest of the day. I can't play it on the air because it's filthy. But it's
a lot of naughty words. Sorry,
it's a great song. But I was just thinking, Will Levis as Fred Durst. Someone's going to have to make that mashup at some point. But he said it's just one of those days. And I was hearing what he was saying, and I was thinking to myself, other than the Limp Bizkit thing, once I got past that and had a chuckle to myself, I understand that Will Levis is in a precarious situation. He's trying to preserve his confidence. He's trying to show mental, emotional strength in this situation. But there was another part of me that was like, you can't – like, is it – like – I can't just brush this off. Like, I know that he's not going to go up there and say, man, I really suck today. That's about it for my career as an NFL starting quarterback. But, like, to hear him sort of just say, oh, it was just one of those days.
Well, he said a series of unfortunate events was the first thing he said along those lines. But I see what you're saying, Adam. It's and at that point, this was probably in real time, what, a couple of hours after –
yeah, no more than benching. A couple of hours, yeah.
So maybe he's not as down. But there's something about his presence. And we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We talked about it when he went down in the Miami game. And just there's been other examples that we've shown. I thought yesterday was another example of how does a quarterback present himself? Mm-hmm. What does he give off? And he just doesn't have it to me. I'm the first to say, I don't like picking apart every word a guy says in a press conference, but it's a demeanor, it's a presence. On the sideline, how does he carry himself in the huddle? And I don't like what I see with that. It doesn't resonate to me as a guy that's going to figure it out, a guy that's going to get there.
It felt like he was sort of talking himself into it. Like, if I say these things aloud, maybe I can make them a reality versus maybe actually believing it. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. But you know how sometimes when you're trying to psych yourself up, you're like, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Even though you're not really sure if you can. It kind of felt like that.
He's probably resigned to just, hey, listen, I'm a backup quarterback. And listen, that's okay. It's truly okay. Do you want to be a starter? Absolutely. Everybody wants to be a starter, but everybody can't be a starter. Everybody's not equipped to be a starter. Everybody doesn't operate themselves as starters. Only so few do that. And Will Levis, at this point, he's done so much bad that I think any good that he has done can't overshadow what we are seeing with our own eyes. Again, that last play, that interception, was just indicative of who Will Levis is. And no one should try to, skirt around it. Again, I've watched this play like 20 times. And when you see the coverage that you saw, you are taught to throw it over the head of the safety. It's a cover three. Basically, that's what it is. That safety is reading your eyes. That safety saw Chigakonkwo coming out. That safety started to backpedal a little bit. just a little bit. It wasn't like he opened up his hips and kind of ran. It was like toward Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. No, he basically just backed up, you know, flat-footed and just read Will Levis's eyes. The ball should have been thrown to the post, Will Levis. That, and this is the reason why I don't think he should be the starter anymore moving forward. Again, can he play in this league? I think he can. Yes, he can do that. But he shouldn't be a starter for this team anymore. Because that's elementary. That coverage, basic three, cover three, elementary coverage. That's just what it is. And if you can't see that, and you didn't get any rush, right. The pocket was clean. It was, oh my goodness, the pocket was clean. You didn't even have to rush to throw the football. You saw that safe. You're looking, are you looking at the safety? Or are you looking at your guy? Because if you're just looking at your guy, I don't need you to be my quarterback. You got to look at what the defense is doing. The defense told you, you're not getting this over route. You're not getting it. You better throw that post. But you know what? We don't think you're going to throw that post, Will Levis. We just don't. We're going to sit right here on the cross, that deep cross.
But
we're going to take it away.
And he's got the arm strength to throw that.
Yeah,
ball.
That's what I'm saying. He got the arm strength.
That's the thing. That's why I was confused, because that was an opportunity.
That's why he shouldn't be the starter anymore, because that was routine. That was something that you would see, Willie. That's something that if you were a quarterback, Adam, a novice quarterback underneath center, you would have. And I'm trying not to, you know, make light of it, but it's elementary. Cover three, the safety hasn't opened up. He hasn't opened up his hips to take away the deep route. If he's still standing there flat-footed, throw the post. It may be incomplete, but throw the post. Will Levis, that one play told me enough. You don't need to be a starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans any longer.
We'll hear what Teron Davenport, did you just play break stuff? Yep, thank you. Thank you. I was about to say, you better hit the dump button pretty quickly. 615-737-1025. We'll hear what Teron Davenport has to say about all of this coming up next. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.